You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Don't forget to tune in to News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Browns, every Sunday at 11 a.m. to catch Inside the Cleveland Browns, hosted by Sarah Carnes and Dustin Fox, followed by the all-new Dog Pound Report at 11:30 a.m., hosted by myself and Andy Baskin. 216-578-0850, that's the way to get on board the Browns show. Yesterday, we had just seen snippets and just seen some headlines grab. The Browns had lost trust in Johnny Manziel, according to Joe Thomas. Well, we're going to find out exactly what Joe Thomas had to say when he sat down with ESPN Cleveland's own Tony Grossi, an interview that aired earlier today on Hey Tony. Here it is in its entirety.
It's been a long, cold winter back here in Cleveland, and we need some of your positivity. Since the season ended, we've had Kyle Shanahan leave, Josh Gordon's been suspended, Johnny Manziel's been checked into rehab, Brian Hoyer's left, and now Ray Farmer's been suspended for the first four games of the season. Just what's your general take on this crazy offseason for the Browns?
Well, obviously, we've lost a few key players from last year and the last couple years. So when you lose good players like that, it's a step backwards. And obviously, the other things you mentioned were a little bit disappointing. But in any NFL offseason, you're going to have some bad things that happen to the team. And I think we also had some really good stuff that's happened with the signing of a couple really good receivers. I think having Alex back next year is going to be a huge help on the offense, and I'm really excited to see what we do in the draft with those two first-round picks. I think we can really make a huge impact on offense, especially at the skill position.
So your positivity hasn't been dented by this offseason?
No, I mean, it's all how you look at it. You can either dwell on the negatives or dwell on the positives, and I've always been a guy that kind of dwells on the positive because, like I mentioned, any NFL team, you're going to have highs and lows in any offseason. And If you tend to dwell on the negative, you're going to think that things are worse than they really are, and I don't think it's productive. So I try not to do too much of that.
Very good. Let's go to the Hoyer issue, Joe. Are you surprised that the team wouldn't do more than it did to try to bring back the one quarterback who's posted a winning record for the Browns in the last 15 years? What do you know about the team's thoughts on the decision about Hoyer?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I don't know the team's thoughts too much, but I think their actions were really telling back last spring when they drafted Johnny Manziel. I think kind of at that point, it was telling that they were saying that Brian wasn't going to be the guy in their mind. I mean, that's what you're telling everybody when you draft a quarterback in the first round. So for him to play as much as he did last season, I think was a surprise to most people as it was. So for them to move on going into this next season was not a real big surprise to me. And obviously there's some uncertainty with Johnny right now, and that's why we brought in Josh. And he's a guy that if he's asked to carry the flag this year, he's going to do a great job. But there's a chance we draft somebody, or there's a chance that Johnny comes back and he's a new person, and he's rededicated to football, and he turns into be the great quarterback that we expected when we drafted him in the first round.
Yeah, that brings up, I was going to go into Johnny. We're 10 weeks into a treatment center now. And the Browns last week, Joe, said that they expect Johnny to be available for the start of the offseason program, which is April 20th. Mm-hmm. What are your expectations from Johnny after what he's been through?
Mm-hmm. I guess I hadn't thought exactly where my expectations were. I can say that I'm sure that the plan all along when he went into the rehab was to be ready to come out in time for the offseason workouts, because obviously his idea for going into rehab in the first place was kind of get his life straightened out so that he could have success on the football field, like I'm sure is important to him. This is all just conjecture. It's not that I've talked to him firsthand or anything like that, but I think he's going to have to prove to the team that that football is important to him, that being the man, being the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, is important. It is his goal. It's his single goal in his life. And, I think he lost probably a lot of trust amongst the guys on the team last year by the way he handled himself once he became the starter. And I think he had a lot of time to reflect, I'm guessing, after the season was over, by the comments he made in the media and by his actions checking himself into rehab. I think those were really positive steps, and I'm hoping that when we come back in April, we see a new Johnny, and everybody is kind of blown away with his commitment, and I think he's got the talent. So it's just a matter of if he commits himself to it, we could have a really good quarterback on our hands.
So he's got to win it back by actions then.
Yeah, and that's
the trust.
I mean, you know, everyone wants to talk a good talk in the media, and that includes Josh Gordon, but it's your actions that really are telling to your teammates about if you really mean what you say.
Joe, the Ray Farmer texting during games last year is something I've never come across in 30 years covering the NFL. Were players like you aware of an apparent conflict there between the GM and the coaches? I mean, did it come up in meetings? Was it a distraction during games? What do you make of that?
Well, the first I'd ever heard of the texting stuff was I heard, I think, on ESPN maybe right after the season was over. So it wasn't something that was talked about in the locker room or even really known. I don't know if anybody knew, because the only thing I really know about it is from what I've heard from reports, and I'm assuming that it was texting between Ray and maybe the coaches in the box, because initially when I heard it, I was thinking this is the most ridiculous thing in the world, because no coach on the sideline is ever going to check his phone in the middle of a game anyway. So what does it matter whether he texts them during the game and the coach after the game looks at his cell phone? And on top of that, for the most part, scouts and general managers and people on that level don't really have a detailed understanding of playbooks. So even if they did know the plays, there would be no way to communicate, to call this play or that play. And I just don't think that GMs and scouts and stuff really have a detailed enough understanding to call plays anyway. So I didn't really see it as a competitive thing. It just seemed kind of silly and ridiculous. And I guess it ended up just being something like, hey, put this guy in, or we should run the ball more, or something like that. You know, not necessarily specific integrity type things that could have a competitive issue in the game. It was just more or less maybe Ray getting caught up with the game and wanting him to see, like any fan, oh, they should have gone for it or something like that. So I don't really, it didn't seem like it was a real big deal, but obviously it's against rules. And so if you're in that position, you got to know the rules. And I think he's going to have his punishment at the beginning of the season.
You brought up Alex Mack a little bit ago, and we know what happened to the offense kind of struggled to adapt last year after his injury. We fully expect him, from all accounts, to be ready for training camp. But the thing about Alex that is kind of hanging over this is this opt-out clause he has in his contract after the 2015 season. Do you think he's undecided about what he's going to do? And do you think that this season is a trial for him to decide whether to stay beyond 15?
I haven't really had any conversations with Alex, but I will say that I'm sure there's a reason he put that clause in his contract, because this is going to be an important year for the Browns to prove the things that they said to him during the recruiting process, prove that they are true. And so I imagine that we're going to have a good season, and we're going to have to show to Alex that we're moving in the right direction, or I'm sure he'll probably there's no downside to declaring himself a free agent after this year, because worst case scenario, I guess he could just re-sign with the Browns if he wanted.
So
I wouldn't be surprised if if he decides to opt out and become a free agent at the end of the year, and maybe he just signs right back with the Browns for more money. I don't know. I just know that having the player's option to be able to opt out rather than strictly only the clubs, which is kind of the way everything is set up right now, it's great for the players, and I'd like to see more players across the league get that type of language in their contract, because it gives the players some power that if the team's not following through on their side of the bargain, that the players can walk and go somewhere else.
Wish you had that, huh?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Hey, one last thing on more of a positive note. All right.
Sure.
We're finally going to see these new uniforms in a couple weeks.
All right.
Have you seen them? Have you seen sketches? Just what this seems to be a bigger deal to fans who cherish, you know, the old uniforms and don't want anything drastic, really. What's a player's thought about this? Are we making too much of it, and mm-hmm. what are your hopes?
Mm-hmm. Well, this time of year, we make too much of everything because there's not as much to talk about. So certainly, I think we're probably making too much of it. But I haven't seen the uniforms, but I've seen a picture of them. And it was nice. I thought they were really cool, and I think, honestly, the people of Cleveland and the players and the fans, I think, are really going to like the improvements. It's not drastic by any means, but I think they're really cool, and I think the people of Cleveland and the fans are really going to really enjoy the tweaks that they've made.
Supposedly, there's a few combinations that will be available. Do you like the idea of having variety rather than just brown on white or white on white?
I guess I don't really have an opinion on that. I'm not exactly a trend-setting fashion-type person anyway, so it doesn't really matter too much to me. But certainly the league and Nike especially is going towards having many, many options for different uniforms.
Yeah.
And certain people do get excited about that, but I'm not one of them.
All right, very good. Joe, thanks so much for joining.
That was Joe Thomas, the eight-time Pro Bowler on the Hey Tony show with Tony Grossi earlier today here on ESPN Cleveland. I think now hearing the comments, it's a lot better listening to it than reading it because print can be so tough, but that's the media world we live in. People grab the headlines. I think it's obvious that, you know, the Johnny Manziel that existed on the Cleveland Browns last year was unacceptable to everybody, including Johnny Manziel, who checked himself into rehab, and I think he's going to be judged based on what he does coming out of that facility, and hopefully, you know, that will be soon for him. It's whenever he needs to be, whenever he feels that he's able to leave. But hopefully that when he comes back, you'll see a different guy with commitment, because there was some positive in what Joe Thomas said, and that, you know, he's got the talent, he's got to have the focus. I still don't know that it was necessarily productive for it to come out the way that it did at this time when Johnny's in rehab. Nobody can talk to him, because at April 20th, if Johnny's here, Joe can walk over, talk to him, and they can all figure it out. And I think if Johnny Manziel doesn't know that is the onus on him when he comes out of here, he's never going to get it anyway.
Yeah, and I think Joe Thomas said it best near the end there when he was talking about the uniforms. Everything that is talked about in the offseason is made to the nth degree so much of a bigger deal than it really is. I don't think anything he said was surprising. I do agree with you that it probably wasn't productive, but I don't know if maybe that was intentional. You know, when you say things in a radio interview, that it's out there, you can't really take it back. So I don't know. You know, if he could do it over again, would he want that to become a headline? Probably not, that came out of it. But, you know, I think it's clear, you know, that Johnny Manziel has said at the end of the season in his interviews that he needs to approach things better. That's not news. And I think that his teammates simply agree with him. And they want to see him better because, as you've said repeatedly, the best way for the Browns to fix their quarterback situation is for Manziel to be really good and live up to being a
yeah.
first-round pick.
Absolutely. All right, when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines. Your thoughts on the Joe Thomas interview, 216-578-0850 here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.